If you know anything about the Jewish people, there are really present, in the present day at least, there are two New Years. I don't know how that would work with us. They got two New Years, and one is a civil New Year, and one is a religious New Year. Both of them have beginnings in things of the Word of God. The civil year starts around October. I say around because the Jewish calendar is totally unlike ours. The months aren't the same. The years aren't the same. The month on the Jew, or the year of the Jewish calendar, they're in the year like 5,777 or something like that. So they just do everything different. And that probably is a testimony to our hearts. God's people are always supposed to be different. And they were in the Old Testament. They ought to be in the New Testament. And even their year system shows it. Of course, us, we're from our background as Gentiles, of course, in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, but we have a very pagan calendar, just the way it is. That's just the way it goes. But we can learn something from this calendar of the nation of Israel. Their civil calendar starts in, as I said, around October, and starts in what they call Rosh Hashanah, which is really just the Old Testament in the Bible, the Feast of Trumpets. And it continues to Yom Kippur, if you've heard of that little phrase, which is just a fancy way of saying something else that's in the Bible, which is called the Day of Atonement. We are very familiar with that day. That's their civil year. Their religious year always begins the same, which is around April. And that's centered around the Feast of the Passover. And that's where we are in our Bible this morning when God told Israel he's given them a brand new year. He interrupts their calendar. Isn't that something? For God to show up and say, all right, we're starting right now. This is a brand new year. And no matter what your calendar says, I'm giving you something brand new. And so that's what we see God do in Exodus chapter 12. Let's read this together. Exodus 12 verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. God will bless his word. Would you pray with me and ask the Lord to speak to your heart as I will mine? Father, thank you for a copy of the word of God. We know, Lord, that this copy will do us no good if we do not humble our hearts and receive it with meekness. And I pray, God, you'd speak to my heart this morning, to my family and all the church family, to everyone that's here today. May this portion of the word of God be sowed in their heart by the Holy Spirit. And God, may we respond as this is the first day of the year for us. May we learn about the first day of the year, the first month of the year you gave the children of Israel. And may we find help, and we'll praise you for that. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Three things this morning I find in this passage of Scripture associated with the new God-given year. The first one is really easy. I'm sure you saw it as we started reading. Verse 3, he talks about, they shall take to them every man a lamb. A lamb for an house. Verse 4, if the household be too little for the lamb. In the verse 4, make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year. Their new year started with the lamb. Everything that God is doing when he brings something new to them with this brand new year was focused upon this lamb. And the first thing that he says about this lamb in verse 3 and verse 4, he talks about their households, and he lets them know that this lamb is going to be sufficient. This lamb is going to be enough for their house. They're going to eat this lamb. They're going to roast this lamb with fire, and they're going to partake of it. And it's going to be food. It's going to be sustenance for them. It'll be sustenance for their house. And the Bible uses a little word here. He says in verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb. He said, man, this lamb may be too big for your house, but man, the lamb sure won't be too little for your house. And no matter how little you are or what your problem is, the lamb or how many kids you have, this lamb is going to be enough for your house and be enough for the house next to you, that the lamb is enough. Doesn't that speak to our hearts as John the Baptist stepped out one day and he declared to all the world, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I want to tell you this morning that the lamb is still enough. Jesus Christ is still enough for your life. Jesus Christ is still enough for your home. It doesn't matter how little your home is. It doesn't matter how insignificant your life may seemingly be. The Lamb of God is enough for you. One day the Bible says there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb, and it will culminate, and it's just a picture of how God has fed us all along this journey. And it's the Lamb that's given us substance, and the Lamb that has met our need, and the Lamb of God that's been enough for my soul. And one day when I meet him and he spreads the table for all of his people, they'll feast on the riches of his grace. But that's what we can do now. I don't know what your need is going to be in 2017. And you don't know what the need is for your own life or family. But you know what I'll tell you this morning? That the Lamb of God will be enough for it. Amen. And that might be simplistic preaching, but it's what we need to get back to. Because so many things we try to figure out our problems or figure out what I need. But really, God's trying to focus the attention of the children of Israel on one thing, and that is that lamb right there. That's what you've got to have. That's your sustenance. That's your provision. And that lamb will be enough for you. That lamb will be enough to overcome whatever you meet in life. Maybe, you know, the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation chapter 12 about that old serpent, the devil and Satan, your adversary, the devil. And you know what that Bible says in the next verse? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, the blood of the Lamb of God was enough to overcome the adversary. The Lamb of God was enough to overcome Satan, the devil, that old serpent. The Lamb of God was sufficient.
Jesus said to the disciples, he said, in me you might have peace, in the world you shall have tribulation. But he said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. The Lamb of God has overcome the world. And if I let him live through me, I'll have all the sufficiency I need for all things to overcome any things in my life. But what happens in my life, I start looking at other things besides looking and focusing on the Lamb. And God said to the children of Israel, what you need is you need that lamb, and that lamb will be enough for your household. And then he says this about that lamb. He says in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. This is a male lamb. This is a lamb without blemish. My mind immediately goes to 1 Peter when he says, you're not redeemed with corruptible things. Vain conversation, silver and gold. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This lamb is going to be a perfect lamb. This lamb is going to have no blemish, no spot. And even those that don't appreciate him, even those that don't receive him, such as Pilate, will have to stand up and say, I find in him no fault at all. There's nothing wrong with Jesus. There's a lot wrong with our world. There's a lot wrong in our lives. But I'm telling you this morning, there's nothing wrong with Jesus. He's without blemish. He's without spot. And he's what we need today. He'll never fail. He'll never disappoint. He's the lamb that's enough for the house, and he's the lamb that's without blemish. And he's also that lamb, verse 7, that's providing that blood and that sacrifice. He said, verse 7, they shall take of the blood, you know the story, and strike it on the doorpost. One day as Philip is, he's walking down the road trying to serve God, and he sees that chariot in Acts chapter 8, and that eunuch there's riding, and he runs and joins himself to that chariot. He's reading the Bible, and he's reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And the place where he read, as Philip says, you understand what you're reading, the place where he read was as a sheep to the slaughter, listen, and like a lamb before his shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. And the man looked at Philip, and he said, speaketh this man this of himself or of another? The Bible says right there that Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. He was the lamb that opened not his mouth. He was the lamb that was the sacrifice that was despised and rejected. He was the lamb that on all our iniquities were laid on him, and by his stripes we're healed. He was that sacrifice. And you know the truth is here in Exodus chapter 12, if it wasn't for that lamb that had been slain in Exodus chapter 12, they would have had no new year. They would all be dead. Without the lamb, no new year, no new life. Without the lamb, everything stopped. And John wrote, and he said in chapter 5 of the Revelation, he said, I saw a lamb as it had been slain. And he said he looked at that lamb and he began to see, they fell down before that lamb, the Bible says, and they said with a loud voice, worthy is that lamb that was slain. And he said down at the end of the chapter, every creature, whether it's in heaven, where it is, every creature fell down and said, blessing and honor. And they're giving it to the lamb. Why? Because without the lamb, there's no life. Without the lamb, there's no year. That lamb was enough, that lamb was without blemish, and that lamb was my substitute. That lamb took my place, that lamb is going to allow me to have a new life, a new beginning. Man, I tell you what, so many people, you know, that I don't know why you would want a new beginning of a year half drunk, amen. But that's the way most of our society looks at it. Who wants to ring in a new year with a hangover, amen? I mean, praise God for a new lease. Praise God for a new year, a new life. But that new life only comes from the Lamb of God. Only Jesus can wipe your slate clean. Only Jesus can give you a new life. Only Jesus can give you a new beginning. But boy, he can give you a new one.
How many people in here this morning could testify how Jesus gave you a new year and a new day and a new life? Just wipe it clean, all right? We're going to start new right now. But not without that lamb you want. Because that judgment's passing by and it's going to hit every home that doesn't have that lamb. That lamb is the life. Oh, you look at the New Testament and you see that lamb connected with life. And we read about the Lamb's Book of Life. And we read about a pure river of water of life flowing out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Because it's the Lamb that is the life. It's the Lamb that is the light. It's the Lamb, and without Him there is no life. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The fascinating thing that people try to live their lives without Jesus. There's no life in life without Jesus. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. I bet they appreciated the death of that lamb that night. It gave them a new beginning. It gave them a new start. It rescued them from death. You know, but the truth is, look at Revelation chapter 6 real quick. The truth is, you know, that lamb is so precious. Jesus is so precious that He would give us life, that He would sacrifice Himself for us, that He would be enough, the sustenance, provision that I need for me, for my home. But the truth is, that lamb, there's also another side to that lamb. You know, I don't think anybody would ever feel threatened by a lamb. You go to somebody's house and you hear the woo 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 woo. You hear that dog barking, you may think twice about, you know, walking onto the property or going up to the door. Just something about a dog, you know. On the mission field, it was a requirement to have a dog because it just kept all the bad people away. Even if the dog, you know, didn't have anything but gums, but no teeth, just the bark was enough. I'm not, it kept them away. But you know, I've never heard of any family having a watch lamb. Have you? I mean, you can breed them all you want to, and that, a lamb is not going to strike fear in the heart of anybody, right? Because, you know, the little lamb is gentle, docile, right? There's no threatening thing about the lamb. And certainly, you know, in the Lord Jesus Christ, man, you shouldn't be threatened to come to Him. He's the Lamb of God. But there is another side to the lamb. He said in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, and I saw when the lamb opened one of the seals. You know what these seals are? Yeah, judgment on this world. Look at verse 16. Look what they say. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne. Look at it now. And from the wrath of the what? You see, it was never His intention to be wrath in your life. He's the Lamb. It goes against His whole purpose. But if you reject Christ, if you have no use for the Lamb of God, if you won't apply Him to your heart, if you won't receive His life, then there is a side to the Lamb that's only wrath. And that's coming upon this world. You can know the Lamb in life or you can know the Lamb in wrath. Go back to our text, would you please? There's a second thing I want to hasten to bring your attention to. This new year, this first month of the year was focused upon the Lamb, and so should our lives, so should our church, so should everything we do. But it was focused on something else. Would you look at verse 11? And thus shall ye eat it. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. He said this, something else I want you to focus on, guys. I want you to be ready when you eat this. He said, I want your loins to be girded. And I want your shoes on your feet. And I want your staff in your hand. And I want you to eat it in haste. That's probably the only Bible verse some people obey. Amen. Eat their food quick. You know, that's really not a good idea. And I'm guilty of that. You know, just shoveling it in. It's not good for digestion. Right? Chewing is part of digestion. Though some people don't believe that. Amen. Just swallow it down. This was what I'm trying to say is this was an unusual thing to tell people. Now you eat the lamb, eat it quick. In haste. Daddy, why are we eating so fast? Well, God told us to eat it fast. Dad, you're eating it and you got your staff in your hand and you're eating it and your shoes on your feet and your loins girt. You look like you're ready to go somewhere. I sure am. The Lord told me to gird my loins and be ready to go. Hold your finger there. Would you look at Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. This is exactly what God wants our year to be like. He says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, this is the passage on the whole armor of God. You're going to need the armor for this year, I'm telling you, brethren. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 14, stand therefore, look at it now, having your what? Isn't that what he said? Have your loins girded? That's what he said over in Exodus chapter 12. Having your loins girded about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Look at verse 15. And your feet, what? Shod with the preparation. He said, have your shoes on. Have your shoes on and be girded about with truth because you're in a battle. You're in a fight. And this is a dangerous year you're looking at. And you need to do this in haste. You know, I really think, I really believe that this year should be a year of urgency for us as a church. I just believe in my heart that God supernaturally has given his people a little space of time. Especially in this nation, just a space of time. And listen, you know what you can do with a space of grace? You can rest on your knees. Or you can do something in haste with that opportunity God's given you. Maybe this is the last year that we'll, or the last few years that we'll have religious freedom. What we do for the Lord, we better do it in haste. There's just no time to waste. There's no time to waste of our lives. Look, whatever decision you plan to make for the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to gird up your loins. You need to do that with some urgency. You need to have your shoes on your feet. You have your staff in your hand as you start this new year. Okay, Lord, I'm ready. Or as Peter said, gird up, listen, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Open your eyes. Be ready. How many people aren't ready for what's fixing to hit them right in the face? They're not ready for the task ahead. They're not ready for the opportunities that God has for them to go through. God tells the children of Israel, you eat this lamb and you eat it in haste. And you have your loins girded and your shoes on and you be ready to go. Because you're leaving here. You're leaving Egypt. Look at Exodus chapter 13 verse 4. You're leaving. And so you need to be ready to leave quickly. You're not going to get advance warning. Nobody's going to put it on the calendar for you. You're just going to have to go immediately. Exodus chapter 13, verse 4, this day came ye out in the month Abib. He said, this is the day you're coming out. They had to be ready to go out. You understand what I'm saying? There was no time to get ready when it was time for them to leave. They had to be ready to go at the spur of the moment. I wonder this morning, are you ready to leave? You know, maybe you're here. This is a wonderful picture even of salvation, how that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light and taken us out of our sin and out of the world. Beautiful picture of that. You know, some people, God, they come to church maybe. Maybe you're in church this morning here and you've never come out of your sin. You've never come out of this world. You've never come out into the faith of Jesus Christ and been born again. Are you ready to do that today? You got to be ready. Okay, Lord, I want a new life. I want a new beginning. I'm ready. Instead of, no, later. Isn't that what damns people? Later. I'll take care of my soul later. I'll take care of the need of my life later.
And God says, there's no later. There needs to be some urgency in your heart. He says, gird up your loins, because you're going to have to hurry. You know, when I think about girding up the loins, I think about Elijah. At the end of that great contest in 1 Kings chapter 18, and Elijah goes up, runs up to the top of the mountain to finally pray, and the rain's going to come. And the Bible says, listen now, the Bible said that Elijah girded up his loins and he ran. Listen, listen. And you know what it said? It said he outran Ahab and Jezebel. And they're in chariots. How'd that happen? He must have been ready to run. He must have been rested up. I'm sure the power of the Holy Spirit caused him to be able to run that fast. That's probably what you're going to need this year. You know, it's sad that a lot of God's people, when they run the race of life, cannot run any faster than Ahab or Jezebel. And behind the perfect will of God for their life, and they don't run in the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit. We all have a race to run, brethren. But we can't run that race unless we're ready to run that race. God, help me to gird up the loins of my mind. Help me to get ready in my life, shoes on my feet. God, make me ready in 2017 to run the race that is set before me, God. And help me to run quicker than those that are falling by the wayside. Help me to run well. Ye did run well, I hear. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who's keeping you from being girded up in your loins to run the race? Are you ready? Oh, there's so many places in the Bible talks about being ready. Are you ready for this year? Are you ready for this year of service to God? Are you ready for that? That book says, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready, he says. He says, be ready to every good work. Be ready. He tells us to be ready to distribute. That's what the Bible said, ready to distribute, ready to give. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul said, I hope you're ready. He told him about the mission offering. I hope you're ready. How many times? We're not ready. We're not ready for the purpose that God has for us, the thing that he wants us to do, because other things are clouding our minds and our lives. And instead of eating in haste and our shoes are on, okay, God, what do you want? When do you want it? I'm ready. You know, that's like church. You can come into church not ready. You know what helps when everybody comes to church ready? Amen. I mean, if I came to church this morning, Brother Jerry, and I hadn't prepared a message, I'd be a pretty sorry pastor, wouldn't it? If I didn't get ready a message. I mean, you guys ought to expect me to get ready. I ought to get ready for what I'm going to say. I ought to get my heart ready in prayer, right? Don't you expect that? Well, you wouldn't expect something from somebody else that you wouldn't do yourself, would you? I'm just saying, we got to be ready to receive from the Lord. We got to get our hearts ready. Get in the bed at a decent hour. Amen. What a thing to say on New Year's Day. Right? I mean, you're not coming in here, okay, God, I'm ready. He's not ready. Or you've been, your mind has been in 50,000 places and you plop down and you got to be ready to hear, guys. Amen. You got to get ready. You know how many things you're going to miss in your life because you're not ready to receive it? 2017, God wants you to make it a great year in your life, but you're going to have to be ready. Maybe you could come before the Lord and say, Lord, make me ready. Help me to get ready, Lord. Look at Luke chapter 12. He says, gird up the loins, your loins and your shoes on your feet and be ready. This is a new year, guys. Luke chapter 12, watch this. Watch what Jesus says. All this, the Bible just fits together just so beautifully. You couldn't have figured it out this way. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 35,
Luke 12:35. Same word. Let your what? Your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him. What does it say? Immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Aren't they eating over there in Exodus 12? Sure they are. Verse 38, and if he should come in the second watch and the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Verse 40, be ye therefore what? Ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. Are you ready? You ready for the Lord? You ready for the Lord to come, show up? Boy, if he came today, I don't want to look for him and say, man, I wish that a Lord, I was getting around to Lord, I'm sort of embarrassed that I didn't. Better get ready. I got one more word for you. Would you go back to Exodus chapter 12? He says that lamb needs to be the focus of your new year. He says, you guys need to be ready. You need to be ready in haste. This is some urgency. Your loins need to be girded. Your feet with your shoes on. Be ready to go. Be ready to serve. Be ready to do whatever I want you to do. You know, that's what Moses said to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, okay, y'all go, but don't take everything. He said, no, we got to take everything. Because we don't know when we get out there with what we should serve the Lord. So we're taking everything. You know, I don't know with what God wants you to serve him with this coming year. But you know what? You better be ready for everything. Amen. There's another word here. Exodus chapter 12. I'm looking at verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that so shall be cut off from Israel. He said, all right, this is the way your new year's going to start, guys. I want you to go home, and I want you to get up all the leaven, and I want you to get it out of your house. Because what you're going to do during this feast, you're going to partake of unleavened bread. And I tell you what, okay, you can eat unleavened bread and still have leaven in the house, but he said, I don't want that to happen. I want you to get all the leaven out of your house. Can you imagine? You know what leaven is, ladies. That's that yeast that makes that bread rise, right? That kind of business. Can you imagine somebody coming up and say, you know, Moses, what's wrong with leaven? We use it the rest of the year. What's wrong with that? Okay, we won't eat any. Why can't I have it in my house? Because God said, get it out. Amen. Would you look at 1 Corinthians? We doing all right this morning? Amen. 1 Corinthians 5. Get 1 Corinthians 5. I'm talking about a new year for God's people. And this is the new year God wants for us as his people. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is my last point in Galatians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5, Galatians 5. One hand with the other. How do I need to start my new year? How does 2017 need to go for me? Well, I need to do just what the people of God did in Exodus 12. I need to get all the leaven out of my house. If my new year is going to be right, if it's going to be pleasing to God, I got to get the leaven out of my house. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible, let's get New Testament here. He says, 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6, look at it. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that what does he say? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Look what he says. Purge out. Get it out.
Purge out therefore the old leaven that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our what? See the context? Exodus 12. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Verse 8. Therefore let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of what? Malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Then he starts talking about what some of that leaven is. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. And then he talks about verse 11. He talks about railers and idolaters and drunkards. He said, listen, you got to get this stuff out of your life. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect your year. Purge it out. He said the same thing. I said Galatians 5 verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Should not obey the truth. Verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that called you. Verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now this is what the devil tells us, church. The devil tells us that that one thing in your heart, or that one thing in your life, or that one thing in your house that's not pleasing to God, that you can still get by with it being there. That's what the devil does. It's just a little leaven. Yeah, but it'll affect your whole heart. And look, I don't know what leaven is in your life. Maybe it's malice. Maybe you're mad at somebody. Maybe you got wrath. Maybe you got pride. Maybe you got fornication. Maybe you're covetous. I don't know what leaven's in your life. Maybe some kind of lustful problem. I don't know what it is. Here's what I know about people. All of us have a problem with leaven, even if it's a little. And God says this, people, my people, look, what you need to do is you need to go home and get all of that leaven out of your house. Because it's hindering your year. It's hindering your heart. And whatever it is, it's not worth it. It's not worth what it's going to do to your family. It's not worth what it's going to do to your mind. It's not worth what it's going to do to your heart. Your new year needs to be one without leaven. Just get it out. Oh, that we'd be like David and maybe come this morning and say, Lord, search me, O God, know my heart. And try me and see if there be some wicked way, some leaven in there. Lord, I want it out. Because I want this new year to be for you. And I want to be clean. And I want it to be right. You know, leaven's not just about sin in your Bible. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you need to get rid of leaven. They thought he was talking about bread. And he kept preaching to them. He said, how did you not understand what I was saying? And he said he was talking to them about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he also says this, the doctrine of Herod. You know what leaven is also, besides just the sins of our lives? It's the philosophies that aren't God's philosophies. Whether it's Herod, a secular one, or whether it's a Pharisee, a religious one. Anything that influences my mind or my heart away from the precepts and the pleasure of Christ, he says, you need to get it away. Thank God for a new year, but don't let 2017 roll off the clock like it does for so many people without God or without the will of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning.